Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God, and we're in our series on Conversations with Moshe. Not Moses, Moshe. And Moshe's a patriot, a constitutionalist, who has a lot of strange ideas, which are very common to many Americans today. They're strange in the sense that they're estranged to the truth, but they're not strange in the sense that they're not common. So therefore, we start a whole series. You can go to preparingyou.com and search for Conversations with Moshe, M-O-S-H-E-H, and you will find them there, and eventually you'll have these recordings there where you can listen to them and go through this, and there'll be other links in the website to take you to articles to help clear up some of this confusion about government and the Bible and what Christ taught and what Moses taught and what the prophets taught. And so therefore, every religion I know of, and I've studied a lot of different religions over the years, a lot of different biblical texts, Torah, Koran, Bhagavad Gita, all these kinds of things. I've studied history for over half a century. I put all these things together, and I've written books, and they're available, so you know I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to spread the truth. I'm trying to make straight the way of the Lord, but you have to understand the way of the Lord. And there are a lot of people out there saying, no, go this way, no, go that way, no, do this, try that. And Moshe doesn't like me to bring up the Bible. He refers to me as a Bible thumper eventually. But the reality is the Bible is about history, the history of mankind and the history of man's relationships with government. I mean, Cain started the first government, the first city-state in the Bible. Nimrod, head of a government. Pharaoh, head of a government. Moses, head of a different kind of government, led the people out of the government of Pharaoh into another kind of government. And this is so obvious from reading the Bible, but yet so many people don't get it. Moses was the head of a government that operated entirely by free will offerings. You're supposed to give this like little tiny half dime in once a year so that we know that you're a member. But the government didn't operate on that. It operated mostly and funded mostly by free will offerings. The little token was just as, are you still with us, kind of thing. But the day-to-day sacrifice, free will offerings to take care of the widows and orphans, the peace offerings to take care of the military and the militia that was going to protect them from Philistines and Amalekites and Amalekites. We have a very distorted view of the history, but this is all about government. But other governments, they don't, you know, the Levites weren't allowed to kick in your door if you didn't pay in 10%. It was a different kind of government. It was free will offerings. That's why they say free will offerings so many times. And they were burnt offerings. You gave it up entirely to the ministers that you chose. You pick the minister you want to give it to, and you give to him, and he takes care of the social welfare of your society. Because back in those days, religion wasn't what you thought about God. Back when the Constitution was written, religion was how you fulfilled your duty to God and your fellow man. And what was your duty to God? To be righteous. To love your neighbor as yourself in a righteous way. Even give drink to your enemy. Even to love your enemy. Now, if there was somebody trying to kill the innocent, you could defend the innocent. But you weren't to be like Cain, who goes out of the presence of God and oppresses people. You weren't even to oppress the stranger in your midst. Force the stranger in your midst to do things your way. Like we often hear Moshe saying, if you don't do it my way, we're going to remove you. That's just completely contrary to a free society and those who think that way will never find themselves in a free society. I always remember the character in Dr. Zhivago, who was this young guy going to make things right. There was so much injustice in Tsarist Russia, and he was going to make things right and had all these wonderful ideas and all this kind of stuff. And by the end of the movie, he was this total tyrant who had murdered thousands of people. Che Guevara, another perfect example. Che Guevara. Everybody think, oh, heroic freedom fighter, all this stuff. And you see his picture on T-shirts with Black Panthers would wear a T-shirt of Che Guevara, you know, with his revolutionary attitude. Che Guevara wanted to exterminate all blacks. He wasn't in favor of freedom. He was a bloodthirsty murderer. I mean, he saw injustice and he didn't like it, but his solution was to become a tyrant and make things right. Very dangerous temptation. Where does that come from? It comes from when you see injustice, when you see something that's not right, you see something that's not righteous, you see something that's not honest, you're going to fix it. You're angry with them. That is the little seed bud of tyranny growing in your heart. Where is forgiveness? Where is love? Love is the mighty sword. You know, it's like Darth Vader and Obi-Wan. Why were the swords different colors? I always wondered that. Why? Different frequencies? How come? Well, the reality is the sword of love is more powerful than the sword of hate. And where God can hate something, because God has the ability to do that, because God is righteousness, you must be very careful of that. Because if you hate something, I'm not talking about hate. We'll have to do a whole show just on hate. I'm not talking about the hate where you're supposed to like something less. I'm talking about the judgmental, you know, bring fire down on them hate. That's not your job. You're not supposed to be doing that. You get better at loving, then we'll discuss hate. But anyway, first, there is no right of government to set value of money. We went through this in the last show. It doesn't really set the value of money. It does coin money, and it prohibits the states and the Constitution to coining money. But it doesn't really prohibit people from making a gold ounce or silver ounce. You can't stamp a value on it. And you shouldn't. In a free society, you wouldn't do that. The value is determined by the people making the contract. If you're setting the value, then you must be a part of that contract. And to do so, to exclusively do so, would be impairing the right to contract. But of course, they're not really impairing the right to contract if you've already waived your right to contract by waiving the right to your labor and saying Congress can say how much of your labor you can keep and how much of your labor you can't keep, which is what you've done. Now, I'm not saying it's bad or good, but I'm telling you historically what it leads to. It weakens the people. It creates despots of the government. Power corrupts, and you've given them power you should have never given them. And this is why we wrote Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. And why we show you the five basic precepts that you are to put in your constitution according to the terms of the Bible if you decide to have a ruler who can exercise authority, which God didn't want you to do, but he leaves you that option. He tells you what's going to happen when you do that, because when you do that, he's going to take and take and take and take and take and take. He's going to make his instruments of war. He's going to take your sons and daughters. And there will be a day coming where you will cry out and he will not hear you. We just read Proverbs 1:10 all the way through past 22, showing you that he's not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you if you go this way. Every modern Christian church today say, yeah, let's go this way, which is the opposite way Christ said to go. You are not to be praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You should be going to church to obtain your benefits of society and fulfill your obligation to your fellow man. You go there to help take care of one another. But that's not what you're doing. You're going there to be comforted because of your cognitive dissonance, because you are doing contrary to what Christ says, but you want people to believe, and you want to believe that you believe in Christ. If you believed in Christ, you would do what he said. If you love me, you would keep my commandments. And you're not. Now, I'm beating you up again. It's bad news again. But that's my job. Make straight the way of the Lord. In order to tell you to make straight the way of the Lord, I have to first tell you, you're going the wrong way. And I was trying to tell Moshe that. But anyway, I tell him that he has gone the wrong way and he's lost the capacity to have a free economy. For the present, until you settle the issue of surety of your debt. See, you have stricken hands and become a surety to debt, which the Bible tells you not to do. And why did you do it? Because a man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh a surety in the presence of his friends. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gates seeketh destruction. You make yourself more important than somebody else. He that hath forward heart findeth no good. He that hath perverse tongue falleth into mischief. And he that begetteth a fool doth it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. In other words, you have tempted people to be foolish. I once told a story. I talked to a man. And I was the last one to see him alive. And I went to him because he had offered to sell us a piece of property. I think he had bought 160 acres. I may have a little bit of the figures wrong. It's been many, many years, over a quarter of a century ago. But he offered us a piece of property that he paid like $12,500 for. 160 acres, desert ground, way out in the middle of nowhere. And he paid $12,000, and he didn't pay cash. He paid money down. And the reason he did this, he went to a convalescent home where an old lady was dying. And he knew that she owned the property. And he convinced her that he would pay her so much a month or a year, I don't know, some sort of payment thing, if she would sign over the property to him. And when he bought the property, it would actually go deeded into his name. And then he could sell the property off. And he would pay her these payments. Of course, she could die any time. But he already had the property. This is why he made the contract, so he would get the property now, and then he would just make payments to her. And as far as I know, he made the payments to her. But he only paid $12,500 for this property. And it was worth more than that. It was desert land, not very good land. But it was worth more than that, because he turned around and subdivided it into 40-acre parcels and was selling them off. And he offered to sell us 40 acres at $1,000 an acre, which is $40,000. And that's just for one quarter of what he bought for 12. Well, I went and looked up the contract at the county and saw it and saw what he was selling it for and went to him and said, hey, I know what you paid for this and you haven't even paid that for it and you're trying to sell it for this. You think that's honest? I sat down at his table. And he had a house out here on another piece of property that he had. And we discussed this. And I says, now, if you find a foolish man, say somebody with autism or got some sort of problem that he can't understand things, you know, like a senile old woman in a convalescent home, and she has a gold coin that you know is worth $300. Now it'd be worth, what, $1,500? And you say, well, you can't even spend that in the store. I'll give you $50 that you can spend in the store for that coin right now. And they don't know any better, so they make the deal. You know that that's not true what you said, but it's true he couldn't spend it in the store, but you knew it was worth more, but you didn't discuss that. You just gave him the $50. Now you go to somebody else, and you tell them that someday this will be worth $3,000. I'll sell it to you for two, knowing that the market value is way down here today. But you're a cool, slick salesman, and you talk him into it, where he could have gone and got the coin at any coin store for far less. You don't tell him that. You take advantage of his ignorance. So what have you done? You have begotten a fool. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And that's the way we've been. This commercialism of society has dried out our bones, and now it is, and the covetousness of our society has scattered those bones upon the desert. And so was it Ezekiel who said something about the dry bones? Can they live again? Can they breathe again? Well, you have to repent. And I talked to the man for an hour or so. It was a friendly conversation, but I was being hard on the guy. There was no anger or shot. He didn't get angry at me. I'm telling him he's a thief and a liar. But somehow or other, I get away with this, and there's no screaming or yelling or no arguing, no get out of here, and you can't come in here and tell me this. You know, he says, you know, you're right. You know, and I've been thinking a lot about this. You know, I'm getting older, and you know, I think I ought to go to a church. And I says, well, if you want to go to church, it's fine, but I'm just talking about what's righteous, what's right, how you live your life, how you deal with people. And, you know, he saw it, or he said he did. And the next morning, he packed up to head back to California, and he didn't hardly even get out of the valley. Car was pulled off on the side of the road, and he was dead. Unfortunately, I've had that kind of conversation with a number of people just before they died. So if I'm telling you, pay attention. You don't beget a fool, because you'll become a fool, and God will not hear you in your day of calamity. And you want God to hear you. You want God to hear you. It's important. Secondly, I said to Moshe that the government cannot restore what it no longer has. If you did not notice, the government is plunged into international debt. The debt is not owed to the government, but owed to the government. And the people have become that surety for the debt when they voluntarily signed up for Social Security, which is also bankrupts as the government is bankrupt is today. Because, and you can go read our Not So Secure, we have the link there on the conversations with Mose, Not So Secure, Social Security. But the reality is this, there is no division of funds. And so if one part of the treasury is operating in the red to excess of what is the extra in the part of the treasury that's holding the Social Security funds, then the surplus of the treasury of Social Security has to compensate for the red over here on this other side. And this is in our conversations with Jim. He hasn't really figured that out yet, and I've tried to point it out to him 100 different ways. But there was a surplus showing up, and we'll talk about that if we do recordings on conversations with Jim, which you can find linked to in the conversations with Moshe. But the money, the surplus that started showing up in Social Security, and they started making IOUs to Social Security, and they talk about special bonds and all this kind of stuff, was to cover the operation in the red that was going on in the rest of the treasury. And remember, it's a common purse. It's one purse. It runs towards evil. That's where you're headed once you've started that treasury. This is why Jesus talks about treasurying and put your treasure in the kingdom of heaven. But what is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? It's when you become a band of brothers. There is a solution, but it will require that individuals recognize the problem and their own part in its making, and then act in a way contrary to what has brought them to their present state. Now, that choice to act in a way contrary, to make straight the way of the Lord, it's very important when it comes to cognitive dissonance that you make that choice. and that you invest in that choice. You can look up cognitive dissonance on Preparing You, and we talk about this. And cognitive dissonance is a psychological term, and there's a lot of other people argue against it with psychological terms, but ultimately what we're talking about is forgiveness and giving. When you start loving your neighbor as yourself, it will change the spiritual flow in your own being. And when you even love your enemy, that will be important. You don't want to hate your enemy with that judgmental, angry, self-righteous hate. Take pity on them. Love them. Real love. And it will be like hot coals upon their head. That's what the Bible's telling you. Understand, you know, don't take these things out of the context of the conditions in which all these things apply. I go on to say the bondage of Egypt came because the people did not have their own provisions. They had to make a deal with the government of Egypt where all land, including the gold and silver, belonged to the government, and the people only enjoyed a legal title. So literally the people belonged to the government as well. And they only enjoyed the legal title, and the people also had to pay 1/5 or 20% of their labor to the government annually. And that was the bondage of Egypt. You're back in that. When your parents struck a deal with FDR, you did not have the advantage of Joseph making that deal, setting terms for you, and there was no ceiling of 20%. So now you could end up paying a whole lot more. The contract is the same kind of social contract, and the government can make no law impairing that obligation of contract. Especially since the government is now in debt. It can't cancel your surety until it pays the debt. And they don't want to pay the debt because they have you in bondage. This is one of the most evil, possibly complete evil systems ever to come about on the face of the earth, because it's so extensive and involves so many different countries. And here's this one little voice out here in the wilderness crying, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And are you listening? Are you helping me show others what's going on? Because the solution is to do exactly what Christ said, what John the Baptist said, what the prophets have said from the beginning, to actually be a Christian. If you would actually be a Christian, you could do something about the path the world is taking. If you would actually even just be a Jew and follow the ways of Abraham and Moses, if you would actually do what they said. The Jews in Israel aren't doing it. There might be some. I'm sure there's got to be somebody else over there who's saying, "Make straight the way of the Lord," again, just like John the Baptist. But that government of Israel, heavy progressive income tax, they're back in the bondage of Egypt. They don't even have clad coin, they just have iron coin. They have debt coming out their ears. They have they're drafting people. When David tried to do that, it was called a sin. They do it, and it's called good. They call evil good and good evil. And I'm not picking on them. We can go to France, we can go to England, we can go anywhere, and you can find the same type of system established everywhere in the world. There is no frontier. I guess it's space is the final frontier. So the point is that we're up against the corner now. And you have to change. Now the beauty is you don't have to change all at once. You don't have to be teleported back to your father's house yet, but you have to start the journey. You have to know direction. What you pay to keep your land each year, that's part of that tax. You're paying for the use of that land. It's a use tax. It's tribute. It's part of a social contract because you never purchased the land. You purchased legal title, and the legal title doesn't include the beneficial interest. When you stop paying the beneficial interest, paying for the beneficial interest with your property tax, your use tax, they take it all away from you. They'll give it to somebody else who pays it. But that shows you don't own it. That's not why Americans came here originally. They came to own the land. You've lost all that. But you've lost it because you've taken a different spiritual path than the one that has cast man up in the direction of the ways of God, the ancient path. You've picked the wrong path. Almost everything you're learning in your schools and your churches is tainted with a spiritual lie. And you need to repent of that. This is a huge, huge thing I'm telling you. But it's important for you to understand. But the change is little inside you. It's just direction. Am I going to seek the benefactors who exercise authority, or am I going to seek to become a benefactor who does not exercise an authority, but exercises the perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity? Am I going to do this in a grassroots, ground-up way? We need to change our way. Now, I'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom in a moment, and we'll talk more about some of these ways in which you can change the direction of your soul. Because the direction of your footpath today on this planet is developing the momentum for your soul at the end of this life. I come from a long line of dead people. Other people have died that have been my fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. It is the way that we are. But the way we live determines the momentum of our souls. And we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're in this section on Moshe, where he's talking about, or at least I'm talking to him about, social contracts. And those social contracts are usually in the form of application for benefits that are provided at the expense of your neighbor that promise you security. And what you're doing is sitting down and eating with a king, with a man who can exercise authority one over the other. You're eating at his table. 50 million Americans eat at that table every day. 50 million Americans get free bread from Caesar every day with their EBT cards because they're on social welfare. They're on food stamps, what we used to call food stamps. They use an EBT card now. 50 million eat at the table of a king. What does the Bible say about those who eat at the table of a king? When thou sit and eat with a ruler, that means a man who can exercise authority, an archge, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man of appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, his benefits, for they are deceitful meats. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou then set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. I mean, you can lose riches any time. Jesus warned you of this. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil, covetous eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of fools, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmarks. Enter not into the field of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. I could go on there, you can go on yourself. Talks about men being beat with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You're going to have some hard times. There's no going back now. But you can change where you will be. Will you be in that safe place with God? Well, you have to change your ways. And what your ways have been are the ways of selfishness. Now you have to turn around and be another way, the way of unselfishness. His reign shall rejoice. His reign's control shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And so I'm telling you now that this country used to become great because of the benevolence in the hearts and minds of the individual people helping out individuals. We have lost that ability because we have depended upon a government to do it for us. And that government is a government that exercises authority one over the other. And we were not to be that way according to Christ, and we have been. Whether it's Medicaid or EBT, food stamps, free bread, or Social Security, or disability, or public schools. Most of the people were educated privately, not in public schools, before 1910. The real destroyers of liberty of the people is he who spreads amongst them gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Bounties, donations, and benefits. Depends on how you translate it. It's a Greek. Actually, I believe it was originally probably written in Latin, although Plutarch was well-versed in Greek, but it might have been originally written in Latin, but it loses something in translation. But you get the gist of it. This is why you're in trouble. This is why your nations are in trouble, from Great Britain to France to Brazil. They're in trouble because they've all become socialist states. They depend on men who exercise authority one over the other to provide them with gifts, gratuities, and benefits. I believe it was Polybius who did write. I thought I had it here and there. I'll probably have to go back and edit this in, but I was just looking at the page, and I don't seem to have it written in here who wrote this, but the histories, which he wrote, says, "And hence, when by their foolish thirst for reputation, for popularity, they have created amongst the masses an appetite for gifts, the habit of receiving them, democracy in its turn is abolished and changes into the rule of force and violence. For the people, having grown accustomed to feed at the expense of others and to depend for their livelihood on the property of others, as soon as they find a leader who is enterprising but is excluded from the houses of office by his penury, institute the rule of violence, and now, uniting their forces, massacre, banish, plunder, until they degenerate again into the perfect savages, and find once more a master and a monarch." Now, this is well before the Caesars. He's telling us. Actually, it's not well before the Caesars. It's about when the Caesars began. Because we actually have a webpage that goes over some of the histories at Preparing You. It was not the Supreme Court or the president that lapped up those benefits at the expense of their neighbors. It was them that may have offered it. It was the people. So the sin is with us. There is a solution, and it will take humility and perseverance. It will take sacrifice and diligence on the part of the people. As I said in Proverbs 23:1, "When thou sit and eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." But as I also read to you back in Proverbs 6:1, "My son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken hands with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend." You are to be friends with the unrighteous mammon. That is where you are bound. But now there is a solution, and there's a lot to the solution, and we talk about it all the time. We act upon it. We're showing other people, but it will require sacrifice. It will require perseverance. You're going to have to become the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and start taking care of one another. You're not going to become free because somebody legislates it and say, "Okay, you're all going to be free. We're going to cancel all your debt. We're not going to pay for what we've already taken," and da, 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 da. It's just not going to happen that way. The Bible tells you, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as the roe from the hand of the hunter, and the bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise, which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. And how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet A little sleep, you say, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands, and I don't want to really get involved with a congregation of record. I don't want to find other people that I'm going to actually try to take care of and learn to care for them as I would have them care for me. I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't want to be free, because that's the only road, and it's the road of Christ, who, though he was rich, made himself poor to take care of the needs of others. Not just any others, the righteous poor, those who are walking in that same spirit. See, this principle applies in Skid Row and in the halls of the rich. We are a spiritual purse where God gives each of us right over our purses so that we may learn to do right. And some he has given 3 denarii, and some he has given only 1, or talent, as the parable goes. And what you do with it will determine what the master thinks of you. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. And Moshe has a little bit of a forwardness to him. And we'll talk more about that later. I won't pick on the poor guy. He's just one more guy. There's a lot of guys like this. And it's a deception. And I smack him with it in hopes that he turn around and realize the only answer is what Christ has said from the beginning. I'm not saying the answer is what Christians are saying Christ said, because we can look at their deeds and say, wait a minute. Jesus said you're not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. You're to take care of one another with love. You're not doing that, so you're not a Christian. You haven't accepted the real Christ. You've accepted a fraudulent, fake, made-up Christ. And that's why you're not keeping his commandment. You're not doing what he said. Faith in a statue will give you power. Faith in an idea will give you power. But it will not give you the power of God. You have to repent. Really repent. Change your ways. And invest in those ways. I don't care where you invest in them, but you have to do that. Or you will not be healed of your cognitive disconnect. And that cognitive disconnect is why you don't say, silver and gold have I none. Arise and walk. And the church today, they haven't been willing to sacrifice like Peter did, and so therefore they can't say that. You have much to repent for. You have a God that's waiting for that repentance to bless you. If you read in Psalms 69:22, it says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And Romans 11:9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. That's what's happened. The table of rulers has been deceitful meats, and that is why you are not free anymore. You're eating at your father's table, and your father is the fathers of the earth, which you were to call no man father. Well, how could you have survived without all those benefits? Well, you could have if you were in practice. You're out of practice. You were an invalid on your deathbed. Now you must rise and walk. In 2 Peter chapter 2 it says, but there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers amongst you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, condemnation, bondage again. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many, many, all these churches, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So how will they do this? How will they bring the people back into this bondage? And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, human resources of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, it's not going to take long once we go this way, and we've been on this way for 100 years. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivereth them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing vexed righteous soul that day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, and to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Ah, there's a place where we should look at the term. Presumptions are they. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed they are, not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Despise government. That's an interesting statement there. Why do they say despise government in that verse? That's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. The word government there, is that normally translated government? It appears a number of times in the Bible. It's only translated government once, and in this place. Normally it's translated dominion. Remember we started this series talking about dominion? God gave you dominion. Why do governments have dominion? Is it because you despise dominion? You don't want dominion? You fear liberty? You fear the responsibility of liberty, as we talk about in Higher Liberty? Ah, yeah. Are you one of these despisers of liberty, where you don't want the dominion that God gave you? You want to give it to somebody else. You take the gift that you were endowed with and you give it away to somebody else. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their corruption. Don't be a part of that. Seek the righteousness of God, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, to take from their neighbors, to rule over their neighbors like Cain, to oppress their neighbors for their own benefit. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you at the table of kings, instead of the king, whose table is set by liberty. He goes on and says in 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts, and they have exercised with covetous practices, and cursed children. How do you curse your children? You keep taking from a bankrupt system that you know your children will have to pay back. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who love the wages, the benefits of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reversed forever. For when they speak their great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, desire for those benefits. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world meaning constitutional orders or systems of government, that's what that word means there, according to the Greek concordance, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the true knowledge of the real Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's you. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. This is where you're at. This is where you have gone. History does repeat itself. Now, if history repeats itself, and Moses delivered people out of Egypt and Exodus, and Christ delivered people out of the bondage of Rome and Herod, so that they could say there is another king, one Jesus, at Pentecost, all we have to do is do what he said to do. Love one another, take care of one another, provide for the daily ministration as we see them doing, buy free will offerings alone, and we will be on the road to freedom. We don't have to overthrow any government. We don't have to get anybody elected. We have to elect to do what God said to do from the beginning. And unless we elect to do what God said to do from the beginning, we will not be free. We will be the workers of iniquity, and we will be merchandise and remain merchandise. Like I said, all our books and articles are free, and you can read them online. I recommend everybody read Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. Read Party of the First Part. We were not a party to the Constitution. We, the people, didn't mean us. It meant the people who signed it at the bottom. They didn't have the power to sign for you. You had to sign for yourself. And you never signed until 100 years later. I can show you the court cases. We quote them in the book that says the people were not a party to the Constitution. So if we're not a party to it, we're not we the people. That's we the people of the United States. We were citizens of individual states. And most of those states were republics to one degree or another. But Moshe goes on and says, you cannot say our government does not have the power to restore the Constitution, law, or standards. Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they haven't left. The Constitution says they can't impair the power to contract, the obligation of contract. He says, as the government controls the army. Well, we used to be the army and has all the guns. Well, actually, you know, the United States is having trouble winning in places like Vietnam. We're not as powerful as you like to think. We can bomb the heck out of a country. We have this huge, the United States has this huge army, but it's used up most of its ordnance in the last 20 years. It's making more, but that's just to make the military-industrial complex. It can all go down overnight. It is a giant that can easily fall. And I would explain to you how that will be. But we'll have to do that next time on Keys to the Kingdom, because we're at the end of another show in which we will pursue Moshe in the future. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.